Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Matt Youmans will join. We'll go over his NFL picks, college football picks, and yes, we will get into the elimination, the demise of the New York Yankees. I will get to that in a moment. I was at the game in Game 4, as many of you probably saw on Twitter, and I will get to that and that experience of just of watching your favorite team get eliminated. And I'll get to my thoughts on the Tigers-Mariners. We have a Game 5 on a Friday that I'll get to, but I'll start here with football picks. Gave out my college football picks on Wednesday's show. I'll just reiterate quickly here. I like South Florida, and this is a big game here. This is a Friday night game. South Florida on the money line against North Texas. South Florida has played a much tougher schedule than North Texas. North Texas has played South Alabama and Western Michigan and Washington State, who's really down. Meanwhile, South Florida has been tested. Boise State and Miami and Florida, who they beat. And that win looks pretty good with how well Florida played at least last week. And Florida's got a lot of talent, which I'll get to here as one of my other picks. But I like South Florida on the money line. I do like Florida getting the 7.5. Against Texas A&M. This is 2 weeks in a row now. Well, they were at least a touchdown favorite at some points last week against Texas that closed around 4.5, 5. They got bet. Now they play another Texas team, Texas A&M, who looks like a playoff team. They're getting 7.5. Florida is getting 7.5. They have Dallas Wilson, the stud receiver, freshman back. The offense looks much better. The defense is really good and has been really good. So I think they have enough talent to keep that game close, and I will go under 42.5. Red River. Oh, it's not the shootout anymore, right? We can't do shootout. It's got to be the rivalry. It's the Red River rivalry, Texas and Oklahoma. I just think whether Mateer plays or not, banged up quarterback or a backup quarterback for Oklahoma, Texas not good on Texas is good on defense, not good on offense. Arch in this kind of scenario, we'll see how he responds. He has really not looked the part, not lived up to the hype. I actually think Texas probably wins the game, but should be an ugly low-scoring game. Again, 42.5 is super low for a total, but those are the three picks. Gave those out on Wednesday. Just wanted to recap. And then the NFL picks before we get to the baseball here. And all the games are going on now. We're recording this Thursday night, so Eagles-Giants going on now. We'll see what kind of Game 5 scenarios we hear in the National League. So all those games are being played. I'll get to that on Monday's show here, and we will have an NLCS decided, an ALCS decided. So we will be down. Next time we talk, we will be down to the Final Four in baseball, but quickly, the NFL picks. I am going to go, and this is against my nature, but you know what? My nature has not been great this year in the NFL. Usually wouldn't lay 7.5 on the road, and usually wouldn't fade the team that just got killed. You want to be counterintuitive sometimes in the NFL and back the team that just got murdered, like the Ravens did. But I'm going to take the Rams minus 7.5. I just think, from a betting perspective, team total over 26.5 is probably the better play. Rams are number one in DVOA on offense. The Ravens, this version of the Ravens, might be the worst defense in the league. I don't think Lamar is going to play. Cooper Rush is an okay backup, an adequate backup, probably a middle of the league backup quarterback, but he doesn't fit with the style of Lamar Jackson. So I just think the Rams off extra rest, Rams off of a loss, I think they get well into the 30s, and I just don't think the Ravens can keep up. So I don't know, something like a 34-13 type of win. I think they could win and win going away. So I'm going to lay the 7.5 here with the Ravens, continue to fade the Ravens, gave them out the last week at plus 375 to miss the playoffs. You could still get them at plus money to miss the playoffs, which I get the schedule is pretty easy coming up. They'll get Lamar back. They'll get some of these defensive guys back. But you know, I wonder too, Harbaugh is such a hard-ass coach. When you're losing, you know, when you're winning, you can accept that. And hey, he's tough on us, but we're winning. We're seeing the results. When you're losing and you have a hard-ass coach, I wonder if that message starts to wear thin. So I'm looking to fade the Ravens. I think this season has had a disastrous start and could have disaster written all over it going forward. So Rams minus 7.5 is a pick for me. I don't like betting unders in this new NFL with the kickoff rules and how easily these kickers kick. It just feels like these teams are always at the 40, and if they're at their own 40, where they start, you're a couple first downs away from getting to the other 40 where you can just kick a field goal. So it's like you're always in scoring position. It's an uncomfortable feeling. That being said, I'm going to go under 38.5. Browns and the Steelers. Just Gabriel got a little film on him. Now he's going to be playing on the road, hostile environment. I know Pittsburgh has not been good defensively this year, which is not typical for them. But I think after the bye, they're going to get a little healthier again. Little film on Gabriel. Rodgers is more of a check down quarterback now. He's not really throwing the ball downfield. He'll get the ball out of his hands quickly. And Cleveland's really good on defense. So couldn't you see a type of game where, you know, Boswell kicks a million field goals and they hold Cleveland to like 7 or 10 points and win just like an ugly 19-10 type of game, I think that is very much in play. So I will play the under, and I'm going to go San Francisco 49ers plus the 3 against the flavor of the week. Baker Mayfield is winning MVP. The Bucs are team of destiny, all that. This is usually how it goes in the NFL. Anytime you get too high on a team and they're the story of the week, usually that team comes down to earth. And if you look at Tampa's 4 wins, and they're 4-1, they've done a nice job. Their 4 wins are by 9 points, 3, 3, 1, and 2. Are their wins here. They have not blown anybody out. So this game will be close. Every Bucs game is close. And if you just look at DVOA, San Francisco, 16th best team, Tampa, 18th best team. I will take the 3 points here in a pretty even matchup. Tampa home field is not worth much. So maybe Tampa does what they always do and win by a field goal. But I'm happy to take the points in what should be a really close game. So under Steelers-Browns, under 38.5. Bucs plus 3. Rams minus 7.5. And Rams, I think I like the team total over 26.5 even more. Those are the 4 in the NFL. Gave you the 3 college plays. We will get to Matt Eumanns and his picks in college in the NFL, but we got to get to the baseball here. We do have a game 5. Skubal is going to be on the mound, and whoever loses this series, as it's Detroit and Seattle here, whoever loses this series, and the line here is Detroit minus 143 on the road. The Mariners still have not announced the starter. Total is 6, which is about as low as you can get. Whoever loses this series is going to be sick to their stomach, because if you're Detroit and you lose this series, you're going to say, wow, you come into it thinking we get Skubal for 2 games. We can win those 2 and just win one other one. We win the series. If they lose this, this would mean they lost the 2 Skubal days in a 5-6 day span. And they actually went 2-1 in the other game. So Detroit, if they lose this, they're going to be sick to their stomach. If Seattle loses this series, they were up 2-1. They were up 3-0 in the 5th inning of game 4. Don't even have to go back to Detroit. Don't have to worry about Skubal. Never been to a World Series. This is our year. We're finally going. Detroit up, Seattle up 3-0. I wonder if there was a series price when they were up 3-0. I mean, what would that line have been for Detroit to come back? I mean, they had to have been 6-7-1 on the money line just for that game, and then they got to win another one. So going to be a horrible, hard-to-stomach loss for whoever loses this game. I would just take the plus money. I know it's hard to beat Skubal twice in 5 or 6 days here, but they've actually hit Skubal relatively well. All you have to do is get a couple runs. Maybe, you know, it's 1-1 or 2-2 after 5 or 6, and then you win it with the bullpen. That's going to be a good home field. So I lean towards Seattle. It's not enough to bet, but again, whoever loses that, it's going to be a disastrous, painful loss. As far as the best bet, I will give you this one. This game is going to start 8 o'clock Eastern. That means 5 o'clock out in the Pacific. Shadows, going to be hard to hit. I'll go Seattle under 0.5 hits in the first inning, minus 120. You can find that at DraftKings. I just think Skubal comes out fired up, dealing here, and he, you know, is able to get through this top of the first cleanly. I think it's going to be hard to see the ball, hard to pick up the ball. Keep an eye on those velocity props. I started to look at those more and more. We had Nick Larson on a couple weeks ago. He talked about those, and he's been very good with those. I was texting with him the other day. He said he liked Bryce Miller 97+, and then Varland 99+, and he came like 100+ and 99+, and Varland's first pitch was like 99.8, and Miller's first pitch was like 96.8. So those are not up right now at any of the books. FanDuel usually has them, but if Skubal's going to throw a first pitch fastball like 99+, sometimes you can go back and track the first pitch of every game for these guys and just pull the data manually and find some value there. But you know, life on the line, I would pick Seattle just because you are getting the plus money. It's hard to bet against Skubal, but again, it's going to be just a brutally painful loss for whoever loses that game. Speaking of painful, driving a couple hours and spending a bunch of money to go watch your team get eliminated is not a great way to spend the night, but that is how I spent my Wednesday. I'm sure most people saw on Twitter, or some people saw on Twitter. I guess it was the Canadian feed had the camera on me as I was, as everyone in our section was putting on the rally caps. I said, you know what? I'm not going to be a poor sport. I don't want to be bad vibes. I'm going to put my rally cap on too. I had a Yankee hat, turned it inside out and upside down, however the hell I wore it. I guess the camera zoomed right in on me, and some people on Twitter picked up on it, which I really got a kick of, thought it was funny. The look on my face said it all, just depressed, dejected. And the Yankees actually had plenty of opportunities. I mean, they had the bases loaded in the 8th, tying run at the plate. They had the tying run at the plate in the 7th. Grisham popped out. The Jazz Chisholm error really change the feeling in that ballpark where, all right, you're down 2-1, but Yankees just came back last night. It's only one run. You know, Judge is going to bat. They can tie it with one swing of the bat. As long as you keep it at 2-1, you're going to be okay. That error, which they almost got out of it, Devin Williams got a strikeout. Eventually it was second and third on a stolen base on the strikeout, and then the base hit made it 4-1. It just felt like from that point forward, it was going to be really hard. One run and three runs is obviously a huge difference to make up. The difference between one run and three runs is huge. But again, that being said, seventh inning, they got the tying run to the plate. Eighth inning, they got the tying run to the plate. And then the ninth inning, they had the tying run on deck. And the people behind me, people all around me were leaving, which I get it. You don't want to be there for the other team's celebration. It's just a depressing feeling watching the other team celebrate your pain, watching the other fans celebrate. And there were a few Blue Jays fans, not many, but a few. And they were excited, as you would expect, to win. But what if, God forbid, you spend all the money on those tickets, you drive there. What if, God forbid, they have this miraculous rally, hit a walk-off homer, have this great moment, and you're in your car listening to it and you missed out on it. I mean, that's just a risk. That's a gamble you can't take. And it's, I mean, I guess you could look at it and say, you know what, I'll jinx my team by leaving. And if I'm in the car and I have to listen to them win, you know what, they win anyway, so I'm happy. But man, you drive all the way, you go out of your way to go to a game like that. Wouldn't you want to just stay in case a win happened? But again, I get, I get not wanting to witness the other team celebrate. But just big picture from the Yankees, you got to start to wonder at what point do Judge and the Yankees run out of time here. I mean, Judge is going to be 34, elbow injury, might have surgery, might not. And there's just not a lot around him. And I know it's dangerous to come up with these grand conclusions about baseball teams based on a four-game series or a three-game series. And boy, the Blue Jays really did kick their ass. I mean, that was 3-1. That if the Blue Jays just catch a couple of balls on, was it Tuesday night in game three? I mean, that's basically 4-0. It was the one game the Yankees won, they were down 6-1. I mean, the Yankees got drilled in the series. I actually thought they hit the ball pretty well Wednesday, better than the numbers maybe resulted. They hit some balls at people. They hit some balls on the warning track, but hey, I mean, look, you don't get any credit for hitting balls harder, hitting balls at people. They had two hits very late into the game. And it just goes back to the team's not good enough around Judge. It's just not. And sat here December, I think it was Sunday, December 8th, like 10 o'clock at night, the news came that Juan Soto was leaving the Yankees. He was going to sign with the Mets. And I thought at that point, and I took it back, but maybe it ended up being correct. I thought at that point, you know, it's really hard to see the Yankees as contenders. There's just not going to be enough around Judge offensively. And you circle back, and at times that looked to be wrong. Grisham gave you a bunch of homers. Bellinger gave you a nice year. Goldschmidt was good in the beginning of the season after he fell off. And they had a deeper team than last year, but they did not have a better team. Just the idea of having Soto bat every three innings and having Judge and having that version of Stanton last year, which was different than this year. And you can't kill Stanton because, I mean, you go back and look, I think he's hit 20 homers and 180 at bats as a Yankee in the postseason. I mean, he basically hits a homer every 10 at bats in the playoffs. It's 17 and 180, 18 and 180. I mean, he's been a really good performer, a clutch performer for the Yankees. He's been a little bit of a disappointment in the regular season. Hasn't played as much as you like. The batting average isn't where you're like, I get all that. But you can't kill him even though he was bad in this series. They just don't have enough around Judge. And it goes back to things I've talked about a lot. I mean, they had the offseason in 2018 where you could have signed Bryce Harper. Didn't even pursue him. Bryce Harper wanted to be a Yankee. Yankees had no interest. Manny Machado, future first ballot Hall of Fame third baseman. Yankees had no interest. Freddie Freeman, Corey Seager. I mean, they just passed on so much talent in the last handful of years. And think about this. When is the last free agent bat the Yankees have added, acquired from another team since George Steinbrenner passed away in 2010? DJ LeMahieu in 2019. I mean, Stanton was a trade. Aaron Judge, they retained. Soto was a trade the year. I mean, when is the last time they went out and they got somebody else's bat in free agency? They've added Cole, which was a good move. That was an aggressive move, even though they didn't really supplement that by signing anyone else after that in the years following. Freed was free agency. Rodon was free agency. They just don't go out shopping for bats anymore, and it shows. They've gone cheap, and they've paid the price. They just can't score runs in big spots. Those years against the Astros, they never came up big offensively. That one-game playoff against Boston was a 2021. They didn't score any runs. I mean, you just look back. I know last year they kicked the ball around, and they had a better offense last year in big spots, but for the most part, it's just a lack of being able to score when they need to, and the Yankees just can't produce offense. And Judge was great this postseason, but just Judge's postseason was wasted. And there's a lot of comparison. Somebody had the comparison to A-Rod, which I think is a good one, because for years A-Rod struggled in the postseason until he finally put together a brilliant playoffs in 09. And Judge had a similar kind of scenario here going where he struggled in the playoffs. He's had his moments here and there, but his numbers were not good overall in the playoffs until this year. And this year, I mean, he was just, you couldn't get him out. I know he struck out the bases loaded Saturday, but look, in game one against Toronto, but look, he can't get a hit every time. He came up with a chance where if he gets out on Wednesday, the season's over. He rockets a double off the wall and almost got out. I mean, Judge was incredible. Judge was basically on base, you know, every time you look in this series and against Boston. Judge was really good. The problem and the difference, that team in 09, A-Rod had around him Jeter and Matsui and Damon and all of these really good players, Teixeira. And you look around Judge, it's Volpe striking out every time, and it's Grisham who can't bat his weight. And it's, you know, Bellinger was a good Yankee this season. He did a good job, good defensively, lefty bat. Bellinger's not Soto, despite what Yankee fans want to tell you. Bellinger's not Soto, and they really miss Soto's bat, and they just did not have anything around Judge. And when Stanton's not going to be, you know, the Stanton that he has been in past postseasons, when he's feast or famine, and when he's going to be famine, there's just not much around Judge. You know, the Rices of the world didn't do much. They didn't hit. They did not hit. And, you know, they didn't really pitch well either. Fried got bombed. Game one starting heel was a disaster. He was not. I mean, I know you were in a tough spot coming off the Boston series, but that did not work out well. And, I mean, think about this. Fried and Rodon, your two best starters, got absolutely bombed. It's hard to win a series. So the pitching is not totally without blame either. But it's just not that great of a team. It's just not that great of a team. And that team got sent home, got sent packing on Wednesday. And think about this, 25 years now, they've won one World Series. Well, so this idea that Boone and Cashman are going to be fired, I mean, look, they need a new voice, need to do a new direction, but I don't see that happening. They beat the Red Sox, they got into the playoffs. That's all that seems to matter to them, is just be good enough to get in the playoffs, and then they can say, well, we'll get them next year. Tough luck, short series, all that stuff that you've heard forever. So don't expect much to change. I'm sure they'll tinker. You know, do you add Pete Alonso? Do you add Kyle Tucker? That would be my priority, to add a premier bat, the best bat you can possibly find to go along with Judge, because I think that's their biggest weakness. Nothing to compliment Judge, especially as Stanton gets older here, but we'll see as the Yankees get eliminated. Give Toronto credit. I think Toronto was 40-1 to win the American League, 80-1 to win it all, in those ranges. I mean, you're going to start to see the numbers that Toronto did come out of nowhere pretty much. And I talked all year, it was a pretty wide open American League. I don't want to say I saw it coming, because I didn't. I remember looking at one of the baseball previews before the year saying, wow, Scherzer's their fifth starter. That's pretty good starting pitching. And Scherzer wasn't on the roster. Bassett wasn't on the roster. But, I mean, they had pretty good pitching coming into the season. But I thought they could maybe, like, be a playoff team. But I never thought that they would sit here and be in an ALCS. But here they are, four wins away from a World Series. And whoever wins on Friday, man, Toronto versus Seattle, Toronto versus Detroit. Can you imagine if it's like a Toronto, I don't think it's going to be this, but a Toronto-Milwaukee World Series or Detroit-Milwaukee Series? People can listen and say, oh, that's going to be great. It's new. Get some of the usual teams out of there. We'll see what the ratings say. We'll see what the ratings say. I heard the same thing a couple years ago when it was Rangers-Diamondbacks. People talk, oh, this is so cool. This is so great. Nobody watched. It was record low ratings. If it's Toronto, Milwaukee, or Detroit, Milwaukee, geez, that's I know Fox has the World Series. I know they are not rooting for that at Fox, I can imagine. So I'm sure they're hoping it is, you know, Dodgers versus somebody. It's not going to be great in the American. I guess Seattle would be fun just because it's new, but it's going to be an interesting World Series here in terms of a matchup perspective. But congrats to the Blue Jays. They move on. The Yankees are done. They once again don't win the World Series. It's been since 2009 since they have won it. They've only been there once. So we'll see what Matt Youmans has to say about the Yankees, his football picks, college, NFL. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. A very special guest for a sad occasion for Yankee fans. The Yankees have been eliminated. It is the host of VSiN Primetime. It is the great Matt Youmans. Matt, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on.
Well, yeah, I would say it's great to be on with you, but I know you only invited me on today because we want to do this Yankees postmortem. And today, Will Hill is a symbol for Yankees fans from coast to coast, because TV cameras caught you last night in a vulnerable moment. You had your rally cap on, the rally failed, and it looked to be a tear streaming down from your eye last night as yet another unsuccessful Yankee season came to an end.
Yeah, if you saw what I paid for the tickets, you wouldn't blame me for tears coming out of my eye, because it's a lot of money to spend to go there and watch your team get eliminated and watch the Blue Jays dance on the field at Yankee Stadium. And boy, they had a good time. They're taking team pictures. They're passing out T-shirts. And you can't do the thing. And there's a row behind me, two rows behind me. People leaving early. I said, they got the tying run on deck in the ninth inning. They had the tying run up at the plate in the seventh or eighth. What if, I mean, it's baseball. It's a four-run game. It's not a 10-run game. What if they come back and hit a game-winning grand slam walk-off? You spent all this money to miss this great moment. So I know you don't want to watch the other team celebrate. I know you just want to get the hell out of here. I don't want to see them lose. But you just, that's a hell of a risk to take, and you miss possibly missing a great ending.
And by the way, you only had to think back 24 hours to a game that the Yankees pulled off an improbable comeback.
Right.
They were down 6-1 and came back to win 9-6 on the previous night with Judge hitting that dramatic home run. So I'm not one bit surprised the Yankees season ended this way. It's funny because Tim Murray and I were on the show last week. And it was when the Yankees were finishing off the Red Sox. And he said, what would you make as a series price for Yankees Blue Jays? I said, I would make it Toronto minus 150. The Blue Jays have dominated this team this season, and especially in Toronto. I think the Blue Jays should be favored. About 10 minutes later, DraftKings series price comes out, and it's Yankees minus 150, the opposite of what I said. That's a bad number. I took the Blue Jays plus 130 in the series. I couldn't believe they were underdogs, and they did what I expected they would do, and take down the Yankees in four or five games. So there's a lot to talk about here. You and I could probably talk about this for a couple of hours. We'll try to condense them today, but I'm not that surprised the season ended this way. And, Will, I fully expect the Yankees are going to come back in 2026 with the best team they've had with Aaron Judge, and it's going to be their best shot to win it with Judge. I do. I actually believe that.
All right, let's get into it, because back in December, our colleague Michael Lombardi was hired away from VSiN to run UNC football. If you were hired away from VSiN to run the Yankees, what are two or three moves you would make right away on your first day? What would you do?
You remember last year at the trading deadline, I told you I would have made a move for the pitcher, Garrett Crochet, the pitcher the Red Sox picked up. That was one move I would have made that you can't make right now. But I'll tell you this, with Garrett Cole coming back, and I think Cam Schlittler emerging as a guy you can trust in your rotation next year, the Yankees, first of all, are going to have to overhaul the bullpen again because guys like Devin Williams are not going to cut it. You're just going to have to clean house and start over with the bullpen. So I can't tell you right now what arms I would go out there and get, because look at the Dodgers. They actually tried to upgrade their bullpen, and that imploded and blew up in their face as well. When you go out and get these bullpen arms, Will, it's a risky proposition sometimes. It's mysterious. You don't know exactly what you're getting. Some of these relievers, like Devin Williams, can fall off a cliff in the blink of an eye and they can go from some of the best closers or relievers in baseball to some of the worst, and that happens quickly. I'd love to see the Yankees go after a guy like Mason Miller. You know, that would be maybe the type of move with the Padres that you could try to make. The Padres have a surplus of arms in their bullpen, so maybe a move like that. I'm a big critic of Brian Cashman, have been for a long time. I do think he made a pretty good move last year when he picked up Cody Bellinger. That's one thing I think Cashman did right. The Cashman Boone circus is probably going to continue for at least one more year. Unfortunately, we're going to have to put up with this for one more year. But you definitely have to upgrade the bullpen. I'd probably look to go out and find one more starting pitcher. And the Yankees got to get more athletic in their lineup too, Will. I think they got too many DH types. Their defense is not good enough. You got to look to upgrade the defense and get more athletic in your lineup.
I would ideally, I mean, it's a pipe dream to think they're going to get rid of Boone or Cashman. They desperately need a new voice, a new direction, just change something. But I would try to get a running mate for Judge. You need somebody. I mean, that performance by Judge, and you can get, it gets dangerous in baseball trying to just base things off of a four-game series, a small sample. Judge had no help around him, and somebody made this comparison, and it's a good one, because A-Rod struggled in the playoffs and finally had a great playoffs in 2009, and you look around him, he had Damon and Matsui and Jeter and Cano. Look at who Judge has around him. It's Jazz Chisholm who comes and goes. I like Bellinger, but he comes and goes. Stanton, I can't kill him because he's been great in the playoffs, but he didn't have a good playoffs. I don't know if Kyle Tucker, if they'll pony up, and I don't know if that's the answer. I mean, Soto was the perfect guy, even though that didn't work out with him in the Mets, at least the first year. I need just like a running mate for Judge, because there's just not enough around Judge in that lineup, and he never hit in big spots. Those Astros series all these years, they were lucky to beat Boston. If Boston didn't kick the ball around and run the bases terribly, things the Yankees usually do, Boston probably beats the Yankees.
Sure. Yeah, and the Red Sox are going to be a team on the rise too, by the way. So you have to get better, because the Red Sox are going to get better. They didn't have Roman Anthony in that Yankees series, so the Red Sox were a little shorthanded too. So I think that series win was a bit deceiving, that the Yankees came back and won that. How about from the ALDS, Trent Grisham, 2-for-17. Anthony Volpe, 1-for-15 with 11 strikeouts. Ben Rice, 2-for-11. Jazz, 2-for-14. Cody Bellinger, 3-for-16. I don't know. There was talk last year that Vladdy Guerrero Jr. was going to be a target of the Yankees. That obviously did not materialize. Pete Alonso, I thought a year ago, when the Mets left him dangling out there, I thought the Yankees should have went to get Polar Bear Pete. There's going to be some opportunities. I'm not sure what the perfect fit is, but you're right. We can get another big bat in the lineup with Judge, but I do think they got to get better defensively, a little bit more athletic, because they don't run the bases well. They don't have a lot of speed on the bases. That's part of being better defensively, too, is get more athletic. And one more starting pitcher to overhaul the bullpen. Actually, there's a lot of work you can do. But they're not that far away with assuming Garrett Cole comes back and he's going to be your ace type of rotation guy again.
Yeah, and you brought up the volatility of relief pitchers. It's almost like kickers in football, where you draft the guy really high out of college. I know Robbie, who's the kid for Omudi from Michigan, who goes to San Francisco. Oh, he's going to be really good. And yeah, they stink. Who was the kid Tampa trade up for? Aguayo, was it? Yeah. About a decade ago, he ends up stinking. Then you get these guys out of nowhere. They're really good. It's the same thing with relief pitchers, where the highly touted ones can come down to earth. You can get guys out of nowhere to do well. It really is unpredictable. Last thing about the Yankees, and I want to get some of your thoughts on football picks for the weekend. Did you have a problem with Boone pitching to Guerrero first inning, base open? I was shocked they pitched to him. I know they got him on an 0-2 count, and that's when you want to attack, but man, the way he's killed you, man on second, one out, base open. I was surprised they didn't pitch to him. And, of course, before you could sit down for the national anthem, it was 1-0 Blue Jays. You have a problem with that?
I did. At the time, when he looked at Vladdy's numbers in that situation, he said, you got to walk him. You got first base open with a runner on second. I would walk him. I wouldn't even take a chance. I expected him to hit a two-run homer right there, and he actually delivered and put the Blue Jays up 1-0. I'm not going to nitpick on Boone last night, even though he did go to the bullpen and he picked the wrong guy again. The offense was the problem last night. You're not going to beat the Blue Jays with one run. They just had nobody stepping up and getting big hits. It's just a combination of things. Rarely do the Yankees have all things working, where Boone's going to make the right decisions. You're going to get the bullpen working. You get guys hitting around Judge. But I'm not going to put that one last night on Boone. Cashman, I think Cashman is the number one culprit. I know you're going to point to Howe as the owner. Look, I'd love to get a big money group together, a group with deep pockets, right? Let's get a group with like Chris the Bear Felica, Derek Stevens, Will Hill. You know, I'll jump in there even though I don't have deep pockets, and a few other people with big money, and let's buy the Yankees away from Howe. And then put a new front office structure in there. Kick Cashman's ass out in the street. Get rid of Boone. There's a lot of changes I would love to make. But as long as Hal is the owner and he's going to keep Cashman and Boone, I don't see it getting a whole hell of a lot better. I'm so sick of Brian Cashman. How's this guy have a lifetime contract? He got one World Series in about 25 years. The boss would have kicked these bozos out into the street a long time ago.
No doubt about that. And, I mean, you said it all. One World Series in 25 years with the New York Yankees. It's never been done before in franchise history until now. All right, enough about the Yankees. What'd you bet this week, college football?
I actually love the college football card, and I think it's just one of the best Saturdays of the season. I just did the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast with Tim Murray. And I'll tell you the six plays I used for that. Just a little bit over 500 for the season, so I'm not setting the world on fire. But I've got Illinois plus 14.5, Indiana plus 7.5, Florida plus 7.5, Purdue plus 9, USC minus 2.5, and Nevada plus 7.5. That's Saturday night in Reno. And I like the Wolfpack as home dogs in that spot if you're looking for a late night play. I'm going to the Michigan-USC game, and I'll tell you that I do like USC here. Bryce Underwood, the freshman quarterback for Michigan's, made two road starts. One at Oklahoma. Now, the Sooners have an elite defense, but he was 9-for-24 for 142 yards, hit for one big play. And that's basically all he did that day in the passing game. At Nebraska, he was 12-for-22 for 105 yards. The Michigan passing attack has not been there, especially on the road with Underwood. USC had a bye week to prep for this game. Jaden Maiava, the USC quarterback, is playing much better. Lincoln Riley, I think, is developing him well. He's got a couple of big-time receivers. I think USC is going to get the win over Michigan. If you look at where Riley has failed and flopped at USC, it's been when he goes on the road. At home, I think he's going to get a big win here. So USC is one of my favorite plays this week. And again, Sammy Panayotovich, our buddy, and I talked about this yesterday. This number, this Ohio State-Illinois number, looks big. It was 16 early in the week. I didn't get it at that point. I got 14.5 with the Illini. I think these Ohio State numbers are inflated a lot of times. I know Sammy's looking to take 14.5 or 15 with the Illini, too, just like me. And I think they're going to compete. And it's going to be a hell of an atmosphere in Champaign. And, again, the Buckeyes have a freshman quarterback on the road. And I expect the Illini to hang in and have a shot to pull the upset in the fourth quarter. That said, the Bear, nobody loves the Buckeyes more than the Bear. And he just keeps laying it with the Buckeyes no matter what, and he just keeps winning. And the Bears having a great college football season, so take that for what it's worth. Sammy P and I like the Illini, and I'm sure the Bears are going to be on the Buckeyes.
Who do you think wins the national championship?
I have no idea. You know what? If you go back to a year ago, Ohio State did not even make the Big Ten championship game. Lost its final regular season game as a 20-point favorite to Michigan. And if you didn't have the expanded playoffs, Ohio State would not even have been in the playoffs. And then rolls off four wins in a row, gets hot at the right time, everything falls into place, and the Buckeyes win it. Right now, I think it's hard to even say that without knowing how the bracket's going to set up. Right? You kind of have to see how the playoff bracket's going to set up and how teams are playing in December, I think, before you even make any more futures bets. I was talking with Tim Murray about this today. If a team like Texas Tech won it, it wouldn't shock me. I don't have any futures on Texas Tech, or I don't really have much of anything in terms of college football futures right now. What would you bet? I don't know. There's no one team that jumps out to me that I say, well, I want to grab a piece of that team right now. I think some would say Miami. And I know the Bear is a Miami guy, too. That's where he went to school. But I just got this feeling that Carson Beck and Mario Cristobal are going to find a way to F it up at some point. So I don't want to bet the Hurricanes to win the whole thing. How about you?
I have one future. I was a little late to the party. I was later than the Bear, but better late than never. I think in week, maybe after week one or week two, I bet Miami at 22-1
That's
to win
number.
It all. So I like that bet. I like that position, but I'm with you. Cristobal's dying to give these games away, and once he has to fight somebody his own size, I worry that he just pisses one of these games away by himself, which is very possible.
You want to talk NFL or what?
Yeah, last one, college. Did you ever think, I mean, you and I did these shows all summer, and I think I asked every guest, just because I was interested to hear the answers, what's this going to look like at North Carolina? And people could say now, oh, we knew it was going to be bad. We knew it was going to be a disaster. Not one person said this is going to be a disaster. They're going to be, you know, everyone's going to be fired after a year. This is way worse than everyone thought. How bad is this? How surprised are you? And how does this end here, other than the obvious of everyone's going to move on here after the season, or maybe sooner?
Yeah, I don't want to sound like these statements are made in hindsight, or that I knew it all along or whatever, because you and I have talked about this before. Didn't we talk about how long we thought the Belichick was going to last? I believe over the summer we did your podcast, we were talking about this, and I said I would make him an underdog to start year number two. I thought he would get through one season, and then that would probably be it. It's hard for somebody who's that age to get started in college football. And, you know, when you're in your 70s, it's an entirely new game. Look at all the even young, traditional coaches like Jay Wright and Coach K. And guys who have stepped away from the game because they don't want to deal with all this recruiting nonsense and the NIL and everything that's going on in college sports, there's a lot of coaches who have been worn out on this. And you're going to tell me that Bill Belichick and Michael Lombardi are going to step in and they're going to revolutionize this and they're going to galvanize this North Carolina program and make it the 33rd NFL team? I thought that was always a little bit far-fetched. And also, what I've said about Belichick many times is that the days of him out-coaching the guy on the other sideline are history. He does not have a huge coaching edge over anyone, and that was obvious in his last couple seasons with the Patriots. In fact, his last season in New England, he went 4-13. And his last game as Patriots coach, he lost at home to a really bad Jets team. He was not out-coaching anybody. It's like almost any coach in history, you got to have the players. And if you don't have the talent, you're going to look normal. And Bill Belichick's looked very average, below average at North Carolina. And here's the problem I think they have going forward, Will, and why this is not going to last a year, too. There's so much uncertainty right now around the Carolina program and how long Belichick and that whole staff's going to be there that no recruits are going to want to commit to North Carolina. Yep. And there's going to be a lot of negative recruiting. And they would say, why would you want to go there? Belichick's not going to be there another year. You're going to go there, and you don't have no idea who your coach is going to be. At this point, I don't see it's going to be salvageable. I think he's going to try to weather the storm to get to the end of the year, and that's going to be it. It's going to be done, and I'm not sure he gets a job in football again. At his age, you can see right now why Belichick was not wanted in the NFL any longer, right? He had the Falcons could have grabbed him. Every team could have grabbed him, and they didn't want him. And obviously, there's a reason. I would say there's a lot of things that are screwed up about the NFL, but they're – obviously was a feeling within that league that Bill Belichick was not useful anymore, was not going to be able to win. Cowboys didn't want him. Falcons didn't want him. I think he might be done. What you're going to see is he gets to the end of this season, and those guys are going to look for jobs in the media, TV jobs, things like that. I think it's over.
Who'd you bet NFL this week, and how's your NFL season going?
That's so-so. It's about 50%. I'm alive. I've got 5 entries alive in Circa Survivor. That's my best hope to have something happen this season. And I'll probably put a couple of those on the Packers this week, maybe one on the Steelers, one on the Colts. I don't know. Am I crazy? I think the Raiders are actually sitting in a pretty good spot this week against the against the Titans. What's that?
I would think so. I mean, I would think so. I still can't believe what Arizona did last week. How many survivors did you start with?
10. And okay. Had a couple knocked out by the Rams and the Cardinals last week. But, you know, let's be realistic here. The Titans should have been down 28-6 to a crappy Cardinals team. And now they're playing back-to-back road games. And they're in Vegas against a Raiders team that's got to be, you would think, ultra-focused. There's so much negativity around the Raiders right now. Pete Carroll and this whole new leadership crew, because they came in talking big and they've been getting their butts beat. Geno Smith has got 9 interceptions. There's a lot of things going wrong here. If you can't win a home game against the Titans, man, something's seriously wrong. So I actually think the Raiders, that's going to be a money line play for me. I even consider putting a survivor play on the Raiders this week. I don't know if I got enough guts to do that, but I'll probably play the Raiders in some form. I'll tell you the dog I like. First, there are 2 spots I like here. One is the Steelers, and the scheduling spot for the Steelers might be the best for any team this season because they're off a bye, and the Browns are coming back from London. Not only that, they're coming back from London with a rookie quarterback on the road, talking about Dylan Gabriel. Mike Tomlin off a bye, 14-4, and the Steelers have won 21 straight regular season home games against the Browns. There's a lot of things pointing to a Pittsburgh play here. With the Steelers off a bye. Also, I like the Seahawks. And I don't think many people realize this, but Seattle's got the number 5 scoring offense in the NFL right now, 29 points per game. If you look at what the Seahawks did offensively last week, Sam Darnold, Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet, Jackson Smith and Jigba, they put up big numbers against the Buccaneers. Just that one interception at the end off the helmet, Sam Darnold threw, cost the Seahawks. They've actually played better on the road than they have at home in the last couple of years. But I think the key point in this handicap is that after a big win, you look to fade that team a lot of times the next game. Jaguars just had the biggest win they've had in years. Monday Night Football against the Chiefs, comeback win, and they needed a 99-yard interception return to flip that game in their favor. I think the Seahawks are rolling in here at the right time. Seahawks plus 1.5. I also think that's a pretty good teaser leg if you want to tease the Seahawks up to plus 7.5.
How about the Vikings? Two of the best quarterbacks in the league this year, Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones, both were on the 2024 Vikings, and then somehow you look up, Vikings still don't have a quarterback. It's just me and Big Randy McKay. It's not a good life as a Vikings fan.
Well, it's probably a little bit more depressing being a Yankees fan right now because the season just ended. Vikings still have some hope. If I don't know what J.J. McCarthy is going to be when he comes back. Carson Wentz has actually played a little bit better than I expected. I like Kevin O'Connell. When you got Justin Jefferson, you can almost throw any quarterback in there, and he's got a fighting chance to make a couple plays. Good win for the Vikings last week, right? I had it's funny.
Yeah.
Will, there are some people I would consider a mush, and I hate to do that. It sounds disrespectful, but there's one guy in particular, whenever he texts me something about a game, the opposite happens almost immediately. And he texted me Sunday and said, boy, this Cleveland Browns defense might be the best in the NFL. And then the Vikings march right down the field for the winning touchdown. Later in the day, he texted me and said, hey, buddy, your bet on the Broncos is not looking so good. And they were down 17-3, and then the Broncos rip off 18 straight points and come back and win the game. Last night, by the way, he loved the Dodgers and the Yankees. How'd that work out? So
that's that's valuable. Whether you're getting winners or you're getting losers, it's just as valuable either way.
Right.
All right, Matt. Appreciate it, man. VSiN Prime Time at Matt Humans. What at Matt Humans 247 on Twitter. Appreciate it. What where else can we find you?
VSiN Monday through Friday nights, and Will was great doing shows with you every Friday night this summer, chopping it up about the Yankees and the Bubble Boy Aaron Boone. Hopefully, the Yankees can make some big moves here in the offseason. I really do think in 2026, if they make some good moves, it's going to be a legit shot for Aaron Judge to win a World Series. They can't waste this Aaron Judge era and not win one, right? He can't beat Don Mattingly.
And Mattingly was in the building last night. He is one of the assistants for the Blue Jays. I mean, he's what? Judge is 34. He's got the elbow issue. Starting to run out of time. I mean, he's still great. We know how great he is, but he's not going to be great forever.
No, I think they got 2 to 3 more years to get this done. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. Three might be a lot, too.
Right.
Matt, appreciate it, man. Thanks.
You bet, buddy. See ya.
All right, that will do it. Thank you to Matt Humans. Thank you guys for listening. Rate, review, subscribe, leave a review on Apple if you can. Going to do another contest here shortly, so appreciate that. We'll be back Monday. Enjoy the weekend. See you then.